Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made your wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You may be seated. Well, today the church observes and celebrates the baptism of our Lord. We're out of the Christmas season. Epiphany, the Epiphany of our Lord on January 6th was this past Monday. Seems like a while since we've gathered together during this weather and this new year off to a start. But knowing the condition of the roads in Topeka, I know your prayer life has been rather, I'm sure, well used. So as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, we see something about our own baptism, that it's not an empty, useless thing. No, far from it. It's a lavish washing of regeneration. We know that it works the forgiveness of sins, that it rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe and trust those promises of God attached to it. So when we look at these great gifts of God, like baptism, is it any wonder then why it is often attacked? The devil, the world, and our own fallen flesh attack baptism because it's such a wonderful gift of God. Like man and women in the garden, the church, the Holy Scriptures, Christ himself, and any number of things, the devil knows where God is at work and what the Lord has given for your good. So the devil sets his crosshairs on those things which the Lord has established and done and seeks to undermine them. Now, as Christians, God warns you to be on guard against those things and people which would seek to rob you of holy baptism and its benefits. He warns you not to fall into those errors, but mark and avoid them and go running instead back to the waters of holy baptism, where God has washed you clean and made you his own. So what are those warnings? Well, the devil is a liar, and he attacks baptism in cunning ways. He tries to attack baptism with a pretense of holiness or in ways which try to pit it against Christ and faith. We see this happen often within the church where the devil wants baptism to be viewed as a mere symbol or an act of obedience or something where God is not at work for you. Along with that, the world wants you to deny who God has made you to be in the waters of holy baptism. It wants you to deny that baptismal identity that you have as a new creature and instead be who you want to be according to your own sinful desires. But listen to what God says about your baptism because of the work of Christ and who God says you are as a baptized child of God. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so you see then, there's always a temptation lurking in your hearts as well that wants to abuse what your baptism really is. As God teaches you in those words of Scripture, to view your baptism rightly is to behold and believe the person and work of Jesus, who fulfilled all righteousness for you. To cling to your baptism is to live in your baptism in repentance and faith. You hear God's word, you turn from your sin, you receive mercy and forgiveness in Christ. And really, this is why we talk about living in your baptism is the very Christian faith itself. One of the key things of the Reformation was knowing and understanding that baptism is not a thing of our past, but is who we are in the here and now, looking forward to that day when we see the completion of all things, when we stand before our Lord face to face, raised from the grave. And so Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness. even as he said it is fitting for him to do in that gospel reading. Because only his life lived in perfect obedience to the law of God earns you a place in eternal life. Only he, as fully God and fully man, can be that perfect sacrifice, your scapegoat, as the one who takes your sin upon himself and the sin of the world, and by his death satisfies the wrath of God against sin and the punishment that is justly due. Only can he rise from the dead, because death has no dominion over the Lord of life who created all things. And that's the wonderful thing that God teaches you today as you hear this account of the Lord's baptism, and it informs your own. You see him emerge from those waters, and you listen to the voice of the Father, which the Holy Spirit preaches to you this very instant. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now, in a sermon from 1540, Martin Luther preached about the baptism of Christ. The day before, he had served as a sponsor at the baptism of a prince, and then the next day, he preached on the baptism of Christ, and he said this towards the beginning of the sermon. Luther preached, "Jesus accepted it, baptism, from John, for the reason that he was entering into our stead, indeed our person, that is, becoming a sinner for us, taking upon himself the sins which he had not committed, and wiping them out, and drowning them in his holy baptism. And that he did this in accord with the will of God, the Heavenly Father, who cast all our sins upon him, that he might bear them, and not only cleanse us from them through his baptism, and make satisfaction for them on the cross, but also clothe us in his holiness, and adorn us with his innocence. Is not this a beautiful, glorious exchange, by which Christ, who is wholly innocent and holy, not only takes upon himself another's sins, that is my sin and guilt, but also clothes and adorns me, who am nothing but sin, with his own innocence and purity. And then, besides death, the shameful death of the cross for the sake of my sins, through which I have deserved death and condemnation, and grants to me his righteousness in order that I may live with him eternally in glorious and unspeakable joy. Through this blessed exchange, in which Christ exchanges places with us, something the heart can only grasp in faith, and through nothing else are we freed from sin and death and given his righteousness and life as our own." And so as you hear this account today of the baptism of our Lord, see your Lord go into those waters. See him, the one who is your Savior, and cling to your baptism where you have been united with him. And live it as you walk through this world by faith in Christ. And you see, the other glorious thing about baptism, too, is that you're not alone in this walk of faith. Being baptized also means that you're gathered into the ark of the church. Together, you are the baptized people of God. You are this city set on a hill in the midst of this fallen world. Because we know the church exists in a world that is in darkness and finds its wisdom and way of life in ways that are far from godly. Right after the baptism of our Lord, he goes out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And that's something also telling for us who we are as the baptized people of God and what it means to live this baptismal life. The epistle reading from Corinthians that St. Paul writes, we hear that God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So you do well to listen to those words today and take them to heart. God has called you, both as individuals and together as his people, the church, in holy baptism. He's called you to a new life. He's called you into the light, out of the darkness. And so the significance of your baptism is lived out daily. You go headlong into the wilderness that you live in around you, being a light in the darkness. It's not forgetting what God has made you to be in the waters of baptism. No, instead, that's the armor that you wear, that baptismal armor, and who you are in Christ. Day by day, this is what you remember as you get up in the morning and face what it is before you, just as you prayed this a few minutes ago in the collect of the day. There's a reason why in the small catechism and the daily prayers, we're reminded to make the sign of the cross in the morning and in the evening. We do so as one who begins each day and ends each day marked with the cross of Christ in holy baptism, crucified with Christ, died with him, raised with him. And so you stand up against temptation. You pray to the Lord for help, for guidance. You give him thanks. And you make it your habit to read God's word, to learn from it, to cultivate godly things in your life, to desire to live according to the Ten Commandments because you know these things are good. You know your life is lived as a living sacrifice to God and in love towards your neighbor. That's what you talk about with your wife, your kids, your friends, your grandkids. Sit around your dinner tables, in your living rooms, wherever you gather. Read the Bible together. Pray together. Sing good hymns like you're singing today. These things, they refine you. They sharpen you. They strengthen you as you live as the baptized people of God, in your families, as individuals, and together, what we do as the church. If you need help doing these things or guidance in that, talk to your pastors. We're here to help you. We like talking about this stuff. And so this is the crucial thing in your lives as baptized people of God. Teach this to one another and stand up and confess boldly the Christian faith. Work for the bread which does not perish. Your hope, your trust, your confidence are in the Lord and what he has given to you, and protect what he gives. And so confess and discuss these eternal things which matter in this world, especially when you look around and you see sin, you see evil, you see death at every corner and ready to pounce. But know that as baptized people of God, you and your house will serve the Lord. And you will live as baptized people, not despairing, no, but in the confidence of Christ who goes before you, binding to yourself each day the strong name of the Holy Trinity. Your very existence, your very breath that you have is in Christ. And when you lay down your head each night, look back at your day, seeing where you have sinned against the Lord, and want to do better the next day. Yet as a baptized child of God, cling to his mercy as you rest your head and know that you are God's own child in baptism. You yearn to hear God's word again and the next opportunity you can get to take into your mouth the body and blood of Christ where he continues to give you forgiveness, life, and salvation. And then go to sleep and do so in good cheer because you share in the resurrection of Jesus. Go to your sleep as you will go one day to your death, as one who has been marked by Christ the crucified and who will welcome you into his eternal kingdom and who will raise your body from the grave on that morning on the last day. Dear saints of God, behold the baptism of Jesus and know what God has given you in your own baptism. Rest in the arms of the beloved Son of God in whom the Father is well pleased. His righteousness is your righteousness. See the Father say that to you in your baptism, and to know as he says those words, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as you take into your mouths the same true body and blood of Jesus who stood in the Jordan River, who hung on the cross, who rose from the dead, and who sits at the right hand of the Father, you are baptized into Christ. That means absolutely everything in this life. And with all his people, as God's people, the church, the baptized body of Christ, you will see the completion of your baptisms on that final day, when you're raised to immortality and incorruption, just as Jesus is risen and lives and reigns to all eternity. Your Lord has done it, and it's all for you, and it's yours now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.